Thankful that you have come out and are wondering what the Lord has for you. Not that you just come to church on an Easter Sunday. You know, the statistics show that Easter Sunday is usually the Sunday when the benches are the fullest. The rest of the time of the year, they tend to get empty. But I trust that, and I'm thankful that I'm talking to a group of people that it's not just an Easter Sunday you see the need to come and feast on God's Word. So I greet you in Jesus' name, the one that has risen. We're thankful for that. The message this morning, I want to try to just kind of go through the account in Luke 24. So you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. We're going to start there, and I want you to think about it with me as we think of who the disciples were, the 12 disciples as they related to Jesus. We know at this time that Judas had betrayed Jesus. He went out and hung himself. So there's 11 disciples, plus a great following that Jesus had. And they thought that this Christ, this Jesus that they were following, was going to set up an earthly ministry, an earthly nation. So they're looking for that. And they come to chapter 23 of Luke, and we could turn to the other Gospels. I want to take it from Luke this morning. But get the heartbeat of what these disciples must have been going through. We didn't have a Black Friday, a Good Friday service. We didn't have, as we thought of His suffering and death, we didn't have a service. But I trust that you thought about it that day in your heart. Here was this man that they looked up to and thought was going to be their king and set up an earthly kingdom. A man that did many miracles, showed great power, and he went on through and was crucified. Let's read chapter 23 of Luke. I'm going to start reading at verse 44. Jesus was put on the cross. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Look at the other people that were around there. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things that were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance, and the women that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel indeed of them. And he was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. And this man went to Pilate, and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, and wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Here was Jesus. We see a graveside scene. He died. He died. The emotions of these women, the emotions of the disciples as they went through this. Jesus had brought other people back to life as he went through his life here on this earth. He had brought other people back to life. And here he was dead. No hope. You get that as you think about the disciples and these women as they wrestled with the emotions that were going on in their life. I believe it's in John, you can read about where Jesus was heading to the cross and he said, "Women, weep not for yourselves, weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children." You can see these same women were still weeping because of the death of Jesus. Let's go into chapter 24. So we know Jesus, I trust in our hearts, we know that Jesus died. It wasn't a... Well, I know we do. We believe in that his saving power and what we studied in Sunday school, but we must grasp that fact that it happened. Jesus died. It wasn't in a coma for a while. It wasn't anything like that. He died. Okay? Chapter 24. The women had done their Sabbath day. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. They found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Verse 55 of chapter 23, they saw how he was laid there. Carefully, I believe that Joseph of Arimathea, I believe it was carefully laid there, done right. Here was this, you were going to pay your last respects. The way they did in that time, they took these spices and it was kind of an embalming process. And they went to do it to show their love and affection and respect. And they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Go on, verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Can you see that as this was told to them, oh yeah, that's right, he did say that. But I don't think they totally had it all together in their minds what was happening. Verse 9, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre and stooped down. He beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. Peter, and we know that in another passage it says about John going to, they needed to see it. Is the body for sure not there? Dead? Is the body for sure not there? We saw it laid in that sepulchre. It has to be there, but it's not. They bear witness that it was not there. My message of this morning, though, as we think of the disciples and they're questioning, they're wondering about this, what was happening with Jesus and what happened to his body? Where is he now? I want to look at verse 13 on is where I want to pull most of my thoughts for the message. And behold, two of them, two of the disciples, went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad?" And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, Now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the thing concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. I'm going to cease reading there. We see these two walking on the road to Emmaus. They were talking. Their emotions were high. They were talking about the recent events and what had bothered them so much, and how this Jesus, the one that it says here, we trusted that he had been the one that should redeem Israel. That man was hung on the cross. They didn't understand what was happening. I believe these two knew the scriptures and knew the promises that were left to them, but they didn't connect it. In their sad state, they couldn't connect it. Today, we look back. We look back on the resurrection. We look back on all this and we say, we see the prophecy fulfilled. We see all, we can look at all of it. We say, yes, it's God's perfect plan. He filled it all out. My burden with this message this morning is, maybe sometimes today we get a little bit like these disciples. These two that are walking this Emmaus road. And we forget that prophecy, as we had maybe heard in our revivals, is being fulfilled today. We forget that we let the burdens and our short view of life and the whole picture of life cloud us out of God's great plan for man. I have three things this morning I want to pull from these two men as they walk this Emmaus road. I want to look at their hearts and what was going through their hearts and their lives. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And that, as I believe, as they were walking the road, they were sharing deep heart issues that they had. And as they, you know, they were trying to, in their minds, to get to the bottom of where this was going to go. The first one, I'd like to think of their heart. You know, their hearts were sad, sad hearts. Their hearts were saddened at what happened. Their conversation as they're sharing with each other reveals their disappointment, their brokenness as they think of what this man that there was to be their redeemer died. They had a suppressing thing in their life. It was a big burden to them. They reasoned. They thought, what is happening? And then we see Jesus coming along. And he begins the mending process. We'll look at that at the next part. Maybe a little more. Sad hearts, though. Today, do you have a sad heart? Do you ever run into that experiences where you don't understand? I don't know what you have all walked through. But I do know that when times get tough, when things get hard, your heart can get discouraged. You can get such a small picture of what is happening in life. Circumstances go beyond our control, maybe. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Disappointments. Maybe what you tried for in life falls flat. You have nothing anymore. Maybe it's your hopes that get dashed. These things make sad hearts today. These things can start to bog us down, and we can try to reason our way out of them by ourselves. Or one-on-one with someone else that is our close friend. And maybe we forget God's overall picture and just to take it to Him and leave it there. Verse 17 of chapter 24. As Jesus came on the scene with these two, I don't know that they didn't recognize Jesus, because we know later that Jesus told Thomas to look at the prints of the nails in his hand and look at his scars. I don't know at all, but I believe in God's power He can do that. They didn't recognize Him. Maybe you see Jesus today sometimes too and you just don't recognize Him. Maybe He's working out the best in your life. But in verse 17 is a key as we think of saddened hearts. We need to come to God's Word and say, and let Jesus ask questions to us. Verse 17, He came, what are you talking about? What manner of communications are these? Why are you so sad? And He starts to draw them out. God's Word draws in our lives too. Oh yes, it does. We need to maybe share as these two were doing with someone local, but remember, God knows most. And God can, He's the great healer. He can heal the sadness. He can heal whatever you're faced with. So Jesus is there. He starts to ask them questions. He starts to draw them out where they're at. And He starts to try to heal their heart. For the disciples, this, as Jesus walked with them and talked with them, they needed to connect the dots from the Old Testament, the prophets before them, and to what was happening now. And Jesus had the answers. He filled them in with it. He started in the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, and worked His way through, and He just explained it to them. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. Sometimes, in speaking from my own life, sometimes in life I can get in despair, I can get a sad heart, I can get a heart that gets burdened down because I forget to apply the Scripture to my life. You know, there's so many promises in the Bible. There is so many promises. And there's also promises that He's not going to leave us in the future. There's also promises He's not going to tempt us more than we can bear. The remedy to these two men's problems was the risen Christ. The very thing they were questioning about. And He is a remedy to your problems as well today. And my problems. Let's go into the second heart issue that they had here. Let's look at their hearts some more. They were sad. And Jesus started to open it up to them. And this is what it was. And we touched on this next point a little bit. But the next one I want to look at is searching hearts. Their hearts were searching for answers. They had expected miracles from Him because He did it. You know, everywhere He went, there was miracles. If you read in this passage here, you'll see that they looked at Jesus as just a prophet. Just another prophet because He's dead. And He can't be the Redeemer of Israel if He's dead. Human reasoning says that. But they forgot to apply the power of God to it. And the power to raise Him from the dead. He's a living Savior. But their searching hearts, they were trying to grasp all this. You know, they dared, or they were hopeful in the past that this man was going to be the Redeemer. They were looking for a Messiah, they were looking for a Redeemer. And now, what? Now where are we going from here? I mean, His body is gone even. We laid it in the grave. What is happening? Today, we need to look and search in faith in the Bible. Faith in God's Word. Questions brought these men to as they're searching. Questions from the Lord brought them to the place where they opened up and started sharing where they're at. Questions today do the same for us. Why are you sad? What things are happening in your life? Why are they happening for your purpose? And some of that makes us face what is going on in our life. Put what's happening in your life there. And then come to the realization as you search the Scripture that it's for your good. God's great plan is in focus. He's carrying it out. Verse 19 was where they looked at Him as a prophet. You know, they said, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God. No, He was still their Messiah. He was still the one coming. They had a lot of unanswered questions, but no explanations from a human standpoint. You know, He was crucified and buried. Now the tomb is empty. Where we saw Him laid, it's empty. In their mind, I believe that they needed someone to help them connect the dots. What was happening? And I think Jesus, as He filled in there for them and started back in the Old Testament and brought it on, they understood. They understood. Today, searching hearts. wherever you find yourself, Matthew 11, 28, I'm going to just read some number of verses. I have them in my notes. You don't have to turn to them. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. John 5, 39, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Today, searching hearts need to grasp a hold of God's truth and apply it. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Another passage that I pondered about bringing a resurrection message out of. It is a good passage to think of. The resurrection passage. But I'd like to take the time just to read a few verses. We're not going to read the whole thing. Take time of yourself to read it sometime. But I'd like to look from here. What is some signs that maybe we can have today that is a sign that our heart is searching for Jesus? We need Him today. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized to the dead? If the dead rise not at all, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with a beast at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There's some signs here, I believe. A searching heart. Turn with me to Romans 6. We're going to study it. We're going to come back. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 15. But I'd like to read a few verses that go along with signs of a searching heart. I'd like to read Romans 6, verse 1 to 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin. My first point is, I think of the signs of a searching heart, just a subtitle underneath, or a heading underneath, baptism into His death, and a baptism that we're baptized because it changed our life. Newness of life in us. Can you see new growth in your life? A searching heart, you should. You should see growth in there. Baptized into His death, the old man dies. We no longer serve ourselves and our fleshly desires, but we serve Christ and Him crucified. Jesus was risen from the tomb. So you can be risen to a new life through His blood that He shed there on Calvary. Baptized into His death, will have a new life. Signs of a searching heart. Go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32 that we read. Signs of a searching heart is going to be a heart that is willing to sacrifice. We see it in verse 32 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Paul is saying, I've fought with a beast. I've given up of self. Sacrifice my life. Put it on the line. He also goes in that verse to say, And he's battling with this thing of the resurrection in here. So it's kind of a side note from what I want to pull out of here. But he's saying, all this would profit me nothing if it wasn't for the resurrection of Jesus. Do you believe in the resurrection this morning? I trust you do. But a willingness to sacrifice is a sign of a searching heart. What for sacrifice are you willing to give up? What are you giving up in your life to serve Christ? Are you giving it all as we need to? Verse 33 is another sign of a searching heart. A searching heart will guard the influences coming into their life. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt but good manners, and it still is today. Influence, Satan, if he can plant a seed and it starts flourishing in our life, the light goes out in our heart, and it can start to shrivel up and die. Guard your heart, the influences that are coming in, because out of the abundance of the mouth, the mouth speaketh. The third part, I think, of these disciples. Turn with me back to Luke. Chapter 24. Verse 32 has my third one. I'd like to look at their hearts and what the experience of their hearts, what they were experiencing at this moment. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? As he was walking with us and explaining the scripture to us, didn't our hearts burn within us? Burning hearts. Today, does your heart burn on fire for God? Do you take regular time to study the scriptures? Where did Jesus take these two men? He took them to the scriptures. Verse 27 to 29. You see, he took them clear back there and he explained it to them. A Bible study. Oh yes. Jesus was leading it. And when it gets all done, these disciples made that statement, did not our hearts burn within us? Feasting on the Word of God today, brothers and sisters, should cause the same in us. A desire, a sponge should want more and more because it's there. Burning hearts are created when they're taken to the Scripture. The truth of the Scripture creates a thirst and a desire for more truth. Today, do you have a love for God's Word? Is it producing a desire for more and more? What do burning hearts do in people today? Let's go back. What did it do for these two? Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They just came from there. They did a 180-degree turn. They were headed right back where they had come from. Today, burning hearts in us make us willing to change directions. Or does it? Yesterday, I was at an auction. There was a man that had a pickup that was stuck there. There's a lot of mud around there. It was stuck there. I decided I'd try to give him a little tug to pull him out. I don't know if I could have or not, if everything had went right, but the driveway went a little bit on an angle, so I pulled. And as I was pulling, he had his wheels turned the wrong way. I couldn't get him out. He was trying to go the wrong direction. Is there something that we can do in our lives? Sometimes maybe the Lord's trying to lead you one direction. And your heart's not on fire for Him as it ought to be. And we still want our direction. He's trying to lead you here, and you're trying to go there. We need to let God have free course in our life and lead us where He would have us to go. Let Him take the wheel, maybe so to speak, with the illustration, and turn it as He needs to. Burning hearts today, make us seek other Christians and try to help them to find the way that we have of serving Christ. These men went back to Jerusalem. He found the 11. We've seen Christ. I don't believe they could keep the excitement out of their voice as they thought about it and what they wanted the other 11 to experience. They told him, verse 34, told these others, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. You know, your life, your burning heart today should produce a blessing for everyone around you. A burning heart should make a blessing. You should seek other Christians and you should be a blessing to others. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Passage I read for the last point. We're going to read two different verses than what we did the last one. Verse 57 and 58. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, that man that died on the cross, that man that rose again. And on Easter Sunday, we think of that. He rose. "Give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." I like to think of three things as I think of burning hearts. What they're going to do. As these two men on the road to Emmaus experience that burning heart, it changed their direction, which direction they're going. So burning hearts today is going to change us. And I like to look at this verse 58. Burning hearts will inspire to faithfulness. Hearts that are on fire for the Lord are going to want to be faithful. They're going to want to take care of anything that is going to stand in the way. The Corinthians here in chapter 15 had experienced many temptations in their life. Today we experience many temptations. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, faithful." Faithful. Matthew 10:22, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." You know, There's a promise there for us. If we continue faithful, we can claim that. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Burning hearts will be inspired to that faithfulness to be faithful unto the end. Burning hearts, the second one that I want to pull out of this verse, will be inspired to diligence. Burning hearts will be inspired to diligence. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always doing the work of the Lord. Diligent in it. What is the work of the Lord? What work did Jesus do here on this earth? You know, you read everything. When Jesus walked this earth, it was not about self. It was about serving others. He fed the hungry. He helped the sick. Befriended the outcast. And he sought the lost. Yes, so yes, we want to, in our burning hearts today, yes, we want to be like Jesus. We want to reach those. We want to help. We want to be diligent in our work here. As long as it don't put me out of my comfort zone. As long as it takes me only so far. We're called, brothers and sisters, to abound in the work of the Lord. And in it, and I believe a burning heart is going to do that. Going to make sure we share God's word. The third one. Burning hearts will inspire us in confidence. In confidence in Jesus, in His shed blood there on Calvary, in His resurrection. Also confidence in the fact that He is going to help us as we go through life. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever felt in life like your labor, what you've invested your time and your energy into, has fell through? It's of no value anymore. Things in this life can be that way. But a burning heart that's on fire for the Lord, we don't need to feel like it ever fell flat. Maybe from our standpoint it does, as these two men on the road to Emmaus experienced. From their point of view, it was hopeless. It had fell through. This passage says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This morning, do you have a burning heart? Is it one that's on fire for the Lord? Maybe you need to walk the Emmaus road with Jesus. If you don't experience that, maybe I need you. Maybe you need to walk the Emmaus road some more. Study the Scriptures. Walk that road. Your life does not have to be one that you look at and say, it was empty, it was useless. No, God can use us. Maybe it's a life that we've tried to touch and it turns away. We can say, what was the energy spent? What was the meaning of it? No, it's meaningful because it's God's work. Maybe it's a young person. Maybe it's someone, a good friend of yours, and they want to take your time and to share with you. Life is not empty and meaningless. A burning heart is going to willingly give because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In the world about us, There's many that are living a life that is empty and meaningless because they don't have the burning heart to put the life there. May that be not once named among us. May we get the picture of our resurrected Lord, the price He paid, and His truth that is found in the Scripture. May we dig into it and apply it to our lives. Let us kneel for prayer.